started. I just looked this up today. Nation of Union Veterans established it as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. I didn't know when it started, so I just thought that was a little tidbit I'd add in. And I want to thank all our veterans and their families who are serving as of now. Correct. Correct. What a wonderful service. What a wonderful service. And I know we have a few in here, so I want to make sure that we thank them. All right. I'm going to start off by praying. Lord, this morning my heart is that your words come out of my mouth and nothing else. Lord, I ask that you empty me, that you totally empty me, and that it be all of you and nothing else. Lord, I ask for your presence here this morning. Lord, I ask for your peace here this morning. And Lord, I just ask that whatever it is that comes out of my mouth, that it be of you and that it be sweet and life-giving to each and everyone in here. We just ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you can go ahead and turn as we get there. I'm going to be in Mark 7, 31 to 37. I'm going to be in Mark 7, 31 to 37. Today we're going to hear about a man who had a God experience. We'll hear about somebody who had an encounter with Jesus, a face-to-face encounter. Who wants a face-to-face encounter with God? I mean, yeah, isn't that cool? Pastor, you guys all know Pastor has the face-to-face ministry. I wonder if that's where it came from, because that's cool, right? I mean, right? Face-to-face. Right? I never thought about it. Whenever he said face-to-face, I always figured it was my face to his face, right? Pastor's. But if you've ever been with Pastor, one of the things he always says is, what does God say? If you've ever been there with Pastor, right? Everyone, I see all these heads nodding, right? So that everyone's heard it from him. Well, what does God say, right? And I wonder if that's what it meant, and I just was too dumb to figure it out. It's face-to-face with God, not face-to-face with Pastor Mike. Yeah. Pastor and I have been talking. He asked a couple weeks. You guys remember a couple weeks ago when he asked for that moment in your life when you realized God was there, that God moment? Do you remember when he asked that? You know, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? When did you realize that God was there? And I realized when I heard him say that, God started prompting me. And I realized that he'd been working in my life before I said that sinner's prayer. Everybody remembers, most people remember when they said the sinner's prayer, you know, Lord, please forgive me. Because you realize all the stuff you've done, right? And you just go, oh my gosh, right? Right? But I knew that God was doing that before, and it was a story, and I've told this story before. I call it the lawnmower story because Donna and I aren't married. Donna's gone away. This is 26, 27 years ago. I met Donna, and we were dating, and I really liked her. I don't think she really liked me. I really liked this lady, and she went to YWAM. Everyone know what YWAM is? Youth with a Mission. She went to the Dominican Republic, and she left me. Okay, it was for 2 weeks, but we'd only been dating not very long, but long enough to where I knew I wanted that woman to be my wife. Like I said, I don't think she was there yet, but I was. And when she was gone, she gave me I'm not a Christian at this point. And she gave me a Bible study. Yeah, you guys ever seen those ones at the Christian bookstore? They're just a little booklet about this big. It's got maybe 8-10 pages in it. And you read a chapter out of the Bible, and then you fill in the questions and stuff. She took one, and I took one. We're supposed to do it together. Okay? Opposite ends of the earth, but we're doing it together. Well, why that happened, I gave my life to Jesus. But that wasn't the moment. The lawnmower was the moment. This is funny because anyone likes to impress their spouse? Anybody want to do something for their spouse? Right? If I do this and they're going to do that, they're going to like me more. Anyone else like that? Or am I the only weirdo that does that? Okay, I'm not the only weirdo that does that. Just so you know, love is unconditional. But most of us have this in our heads that if I mow the lawn, she's going to like me more. Okay? Well, she was gone. And she said, you know, watch the house, right? She didn't tell me to, right? She just asked it because it was kind of not in a very good neighborhood. She just said, well, you keep an eye on it and drive by every once in a while. Well, I took it upon myself that I'd clean up the house and I would mow the lawn. That stupid lawnmower would not start. I don't care what I did to it. And I pride myself of being fairly handy. Okay, fairly. I'm not that guy that can fix anything. There are those guys in here. I'm not that guy. But I can get things going. I changed the oil. I checked the gas. I put new gas in it. I changed the spark plug. You know, I did all the basic stuff. And I'm out there in the back, and I remember, bam, just kicked that sucker. Because I was so mad because she's coming home the next day, and this lawn's got to be mowed. I sat down, and I cried, and I said, God, if you're real, that lawnmower will start. I'm not kidding you. The next pull, I got up and it fired right up. That was my God experience. I'd already given my life to God, but that was my God experience where I knew He was real. Yeah, some will say that's just a dumb lawnmower story, Steve. It was going to start. Anyways, I get that. But God met me where I was. And He knew that that would impact me. And He'll meet you all that same place. That's what's cool. Everyone's got their lawnmowers. It's just, they're all just different stories. God showed me that moment. And He reached out to me in that moment. And He met me there. Let's go ahead and turn to Mark 7:31-37. This particular miracle that we're going to talk about this morning is described in the Gospel of Mark alone. None of the other Gospels have this one. This one caught my eye for a couple of different reasons. We'll talk about it as we go. But let me read it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just again ask for a blessing upon this service. Lord, again, I just ask for Your words to come out of my mouth and nothing else. Thank You, Jesus. Mark 7:31-37. Then He returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to Him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged Him to lay His hand on him. And taking Him aside from the crowd privately, He put His fingers in His ears, and after spitting, touched His tongue, and looking up to heaven, He sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And His ears were opened, His tongue was released, and He spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more He charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Verse 31, then He returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. Just a little history here. Decapolis, Deca, 10, was a region of 10 cities southeast of the Sea of Galilee and east of the Jordan River. This is an interesting trip. The more I read about this, the more I realized there's something going on here, okay? Jesus did nothing for no reason. Am I right? Everything he did for a reason. This is interesting because the trip he took, now think about this, would be like starting out, you're going to go to Los Angeles from San Francisco, okay? You're going to go to Los Angeles from San Francisco, but you go through Reno and Las Vegas to get there. That's what he did. There's a reason for that, I guarantee you. Right? I thought that, you know, it's like that just really stirred me up. It's like, why are you doing that? Many scholars feel that the journey took about 8 months. Remember, he's only in service, right, for 3 years. This trip took 8 months. There's a reason for it. So he spent a long time in the Gentile regions ministering to those who weren't Jews. Because this is a totally Gentile area. This is not a Jewish area. So he spent 8 months of his 3 years. We don't hear a lot about it, but he spent 8 months of his 3 years in this Gentile area. Earlier in Mark 5, you all remember the story when the last time he was here, when he drove out the demon into the herd of pigs. Everyone remember that story? Everyone remember that story? He drove out the demon into the herd of pigs, and the people kicked Jesus out. Remember, they got all mad. He's back. He's back. But this time, it seems many are excited to have Jesus back. Even though Jesus was rejected once, he returned. Aren't you glad Jesus gave them a second chance? Aren't you glad that Jesus gives us a second, third, and even fourth chance ourselves? I wrote down here, the demon-possessed man must have witnessed to everybody, because otherwise they would not have known about it. This guy had to have been very vocal, because the last time he was there, they wanted him all out of there. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. You got rid of all our pigs, and there was weird stuff going on. We don't want you, right? And now they want him back. This guy must have been pretty convincing. This guy really must have been. I wrote down here, look what proclaiming Jesus can do to the lives of others. Verse 32. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. Imagine this. Okay, our society. You've got no telephone. That just killed everybody, right? You have no computer. Those things don't exist. You can't email. You can't text. You have no paper or no pen because they're too expensive. You're unable to talk. And on top of that, you can't even hear. If you have any thoughts at all, where are they? They're locked up here. You can't even express them. Because remember, sign language has not been introduced yet. They can't spell their, you know, you can't spell your name, right? I think I can remember to spell my name, right? E-V-E-N. But they have crude, I'm sure he could talk to his mom and dad, but it was not done the way we do it today. Think about this man and what must be going through his head. The thoughts. How about the pain that he was experiencing in the solitude? Listen to what some of the people, I looked this up. Aristotle, everyone know who Aristotle is? This is what he wrote about deaf. Deaf, people that can't hear, are born incapable of reason. The blind are more intelligent than the deaf. That was Aristotle. Dark ages, middle ages, this is what they thought. Deaf adults are subject to ridicule and are committed to asylums because their speech and behaviors were viewed as people being possessed by demons. During this time in history, the deaf and blind are considered to be cursed by God because of their sins. The last one I read was very troubling. Also read early American Indian tribes would kill the deaf, would actually kill them at birth as soon as they knew it because they thought they were possessed by evil spirits. This guy had it tough. Everybody got a story? Everybody got a story of pain like that guy does? Right? We've lost somebody. Yeah. Stir up in the cart. Thank you. Yep. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He forgives us. He forgives us. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, though, pastor will tell you that, I'm not always real open myself. I'll be open once I get up here, but what happens is I tend to kind of hold stuff in the meantime. Those of you that don't know that I had cancer, last year, right when my dad passed away and I got the cancer, and it all came at once. All came like within a week of each other. And this last year has been pretty hard for myself. And I'm going to tell you the story only because, like you said, everyone's got a story, and it's just to make you relate, because everybody's story is the same. It's just theirs. Does that make sense? You know, mine was is that the cancer and the loss of my dad sent me into a tailspin that I got to tell you, it was really hard to come out of. Once I started to go away from people or pull back, my wife will tell you that there was times when she was worried for my safety. Once you start spinning, it's hard to stop. Anyone start spinning, right? And it's all different things, right? I mean, it's not just cancer. It's not just the loss of somebody. It could be a loss of a job. It could be loss of self-esteem. It doesn't matter. It's usually from a loss, but you start spinning. I didn't get the coach this year. Lost my dad. I felt at times that when I looked this way, I couldn't see anything here. It was black. And I found myself, pastor says, be careful how you share this. I found myself about a month ago. We'd gone back east to visit her parents, and when we got back, when we were gone, we put the gun. We have a shotgun. We put it up and we hid in it just because we didn't want it around in the house. And I pulled it down, and I found myself sitting on the couch in the dark with the shotgun in my lap. I had no thought of killing myself. But I remember sitting there. She was at work. I remember sitting there just going, ch-chop. Anyone know the sound? Everyone know the sound? Just going, ch-chop. The TV was on and it was totally dark. I was just sitting there on the couch. And something hit me. And it was God. What are you doing? And I put the gun away, and we're going to come back to this. But God touched me at that moment. I can't tell you what it was. At that moment, I couldn't tell you what it was. But luckily, I put it away. But I wasn't ready. Just, I don't want everybody going, you know what I mean? Don't go calling people, right? That Steve's suicidal. I wasn't. It was, have you ever been so low you don't even realize what you're doing? You ever been so low that even that sound was comforting to me, even though it wasn't a good sound. That's where I was. I think that's where he was. I think that's where this young man was, this man was. Verse 33. And taking them aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. Look at what Jesus does. In a time of need, he takes this guy away privately and talks to him. But notice how he does it. He doesn't speak. He takes his fingers and he talks to the deaf man, but he doesn't talk with his mouth. He talks with his fingers. He says, I'm going to heal you. But he doesn't say it with his mouth. Jesus speaks to his man, but not with his actions, but with his words. He speaks in a way that man will understand. Jesus touches him. He puts his hand on a man that was considered unclean. You're not unclean, but he put his hands on a man that's considered unclean. Some would have considered that man possessed or cursed, but Jesus pulls him aside and he shows his compassion. He shows his love for this man. Jesus stands in front of him, puts his fingers in his ears, and just like this, he spits on his finger and he touches his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And immediately they were open. And think about this. He puts his hands in his ears, puts his fingers in his ears, puts his finger on his tongue, and then he looks to heaven. What's he saying? He's telling him, God's gonna heal you. He doesn't have to use his words, right? He's doing all this with sign language. He's telling him, God's gonna heal you by looking up to heaven. He touches him. This is probably the part, this is when Pastor will tell you the part that got my attention the most was sigh. Then looking up, Jesus sighed. And that is what got my attention about this. I didn't understand why Jesus would sigh. I spent a lot of time looking this up. Why did Jesus sigh? He just stuck his fingers in his ears. He spit on his finger and stuck his finger in his mouth. He's done that before. Thought that was cool. Spit and stuck his spit on his tongue. And then he sighed. And I'm like, why? Is Jesus, what does he mean? Was he mad? Was he sad? Was he frustrated? Was he tired? Isn't that what most people think, right? If I sigh, right? Most of you think I'm irritated, right? Or put out. The word sigh is stenazo, which means to groan. An inward, unexpressed feeling of sorrow. Had a feeling of sorrow. I asked Jesus, this is your question, right? We always say it, right? Jesus, what were you thinking? I asked him, and God showed me this verse, Isaiah 53, 3-5. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. That's the verse that God gave me right away. He felt every pain that man had at that moment. That sigh had nothing to do with disgust or disdain. It was a sigh of pain. Jesus felt his pain. Jesus sighed because he felt his pain. Jesus was not mad because there was too many people around. Jesus was not put out because this man needed something. Jesus felt this man pain, his pain, and he sighed with compassion. He sighed with compassion. Jesus sighed with love for this man. The sigh was an expression of our Savior's heart. Amen. That is quite an expression. I missed it. What did you? You want me to talk louder? No, you want me to stick your finger? Oh, I got it. Like, huh? Yeah, that's good, Jim. And his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Ephatha means be open, and it's written in the imperative, so it means they were opened immediately. Isaiah 35, 4 to 6. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing joy. Be open. Be open. Be open. This is, listen to these. Be open to a life where you aren't the broken one anymore. Yeah. Be open to the possibility that there is healing in the world and it might not look like you think it should. Be open to knowing that your own brokenness doesn't need to be hidden behind somebody else's brokenness. That was for me. Be open to the idea that you are stronger than you think. Be open to the fact that you may not ever get what you want and you will actually be okay. Be open to finally being happy. Be open to life and a life abundant. Jesus told us to be open. Ephatha. Verse 36 and 37. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he had done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Anyone else here hard of hearing, or is it just me? And Jim. Yes, Jim is hard of hearing too. Aren't we all hard of hearing when we don't want to listen? Is there anyone else in here that doesn't like to listen all the time? In the Old Testament, the word hear means obey. That's interesting, huh? Yeah, that was very good. That was very good. Yeah, put your ears, better shut your ears, right? Because hear means to obey. I thought that was really, really interesting. Shema, to hear, listen, obey. Yeah, may make you read that a little bit differently when you take a look next time. It means to obey. He heard the Father and he obeyed instantly. Yep. Are we people who have ears but refuse to obey? We are happy to listen if convenient for us, but we stop up our ears when it's inconvenient for us to obey. Think about it. If we are like that with God, are we like that with others? This all reminded me. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. This is Paul. Even though I have received such a wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. We are not certain what this thorn was. Most people think it was a disease of epilepsy, but others think it was something to do with his eye. But whatever it was tough on Paul. And it was a great handicap to Paul in his ministering to others. That is why Paul repeatedly prayed for this thorn to be removed. But God's answer to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is demonstrated sufficiently within your weakness. So Paul replied, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me, I instead will rejoice and be proud of my weakness. Thorn given to Paul was the point of contact where God touched him. Think about that. He was able to take that point even though it was not a blessing and it became a point of contact. God comes and touches broken humanity. I found this. While we live in an increasingly remote world, one in which nobody wants to be bothered getting their hands dirty with other people's problems, we serve a God who sinks his hands deep into our filth in order to heal us. He did. He went right into the middle of it, and he healed that man. Jesus does not love us remotely. Jesus, the great physician, made a house call to that man. Guys, I asked God to make a house call on me. You guys remember my story a little bit earlier, right, about where I was sitting there, right? I'm sitting there with a gun in my lap, sitting there going, right, in that total darkness. I said, God, where were you? Where were you when I was at that lowest point? You know, this is so cool. As soon as I asked, this is what he showed me. I was sitting there, and I'm going to be blunt. I was sitting there with my underwear on, that gun, and nothing else. I was sitting on that chair, and on either side of me was an angel that looked like one of the biggest badasses angels you've ever seen. One on either side with their arms crossed. I was sitting right there. They had their arms crossed. There was a sword in their sides, and Jesus was standing right there watching them, making sure they kept an eye on me. God met me that day. God made a house call to me in my lowest moment and met me there. Do you want that? Thank you for your prayers. Julie has a great prayer, has a great vision where she saw she wants to do it. She saw a peacock. She's probably better at it because there's more to this. God met me there. If you need a house call from God, you ask him for it. He is there. The thorn given to Paul became a point of contact where God touched him. My point of contact, I've got a couple of them now. Yeah, I got a couple of them. Ask God to show you the point of contact in your life. And I wrote, and like Paul, boast in it. Boast in it. Paul boasted in it. I hit it. And now I'll boast in it. Lord, please forgive me for the fact that I hid it. Sorry, God. And now I will boast in it. Alan Carr, this is one of my favorite pastors online. This is what he wrote. Thank God for the personal ministry of Jesus. He doesn't treat people like they are mere numbers. Just look at the ministry of Jesus. He healed many people. But his methods varied from case to case. He touched a leper. He put spit and dirt in a blind man's eye. He made one blind fellow go to a pool and wash his eyes. Others he healed from a distance. Every case was different, and every case merited special attention from the master. Every one of them. As well as mine. He may have saved you and me by the same blood and the same gospel, right? Right? But I guarantee you that he used different methods in each of our lives. Share it. I love that about God. You can't put him in a box. He doesn't always work the same way. But there is one constant that you can depend on. Jesus cares for you on a personal level. He will work in your life in a manner unique to you. You are special to him, and he will honor that special relationship in his dealings with you. I called this message hope. I was hopeless, as close to being hopeless as you could be there about about a month ago. It's no longer there. God touched me. He met me where I was, and I actually had a house call from the master physician. He was there. If you want it, all you have to do is ask it. He's given us plenty and plenty of stories about it. And I'm going to go back because Julie, I know that people were praying for me, and I know Julie was one of them. She had a prayer about that. And did you want to share it? The vision? Did you want? It was something about a peacock. Thank you, God. Some of the early Christians thought of it as a resurrection because they'd lose their feathers and then they regot them. So they did it as a resurrection. So Julie had shared that with me, and it was before the darkness, before it got really dark. So I thank her because if she hadn't shared that with me, we don't know what I would have done at that moment. Again, we're all intertwined. We are family. So I thank you. Jesus did share with me, and I asked him about the other thing is that, he said, you will be healed. Amen. Not how you think. I remember this very vividly. You will be healed, not how you think. Your soul will be healed first. So we're on the way. Amen. God's word is perfect. She knew it in her vision. God, that's confirmation. Correct. That's confirmation of what I heard earlier and in there. It's not for you to feel, this is a big thing with Pastor. This was not shared for you guys to feel sorry for Steve. It wasn't shared for any other reason than to glorify God. And everybody has it. It's just different for everybody. Everybody's got the story. It's just different. Are you willing to ask God to be a part of whatever that is? If you are, He will heal you. And it's probably the way He told me, not the way you're going to think it. I won't speak for God. I'll let Him speak for you. I'll just say probably. Because God will do his way and His way only, not Steve's way. Right? Amen. But yes, the only way you're going to know is to ask. Amen. The kids aren't going to be happy with me, but I'm done. Actually, the kids are going to be happy. The teachers aren't going to be happy with me. Thank you again for coming. We really appreciate it. We really do. You are a blessing. You're a blessing. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, go ahead. No. Oh, yeah, no, you're fine.